in your face, Lord Jesus. Truly, Lord, we have been touched by your grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Seek in your face. Touching your grace on the cleft of the rock. May we be covered by your blood tonight, Lord Jesus. That's why we come tonight, Lord. To be sealed in, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's called by the car to be all the time must be present with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we give you praise, Lord. Lord, we give you thanks, Lord. We give you honor and glory, Father. Lord, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord, Father. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your great awesomeness, Lord, Father. Lord, we thank you very, very much for the way, oh, Lord, how you have been dealing with us, Lord, Father. Lord, just magnifying, Lord, the love you have towards us, Father. Lord God, we receive in your love in a compound measure, Father. Lord, and how we give you praise and thanks, Lord. Lord, for the opportunity at yet another time we could come in your presence, Lord, Father. Lord God, knowing in your presence there is fullness of joy, Father. Lord, joy unspeakable, Lord, Father. Lord God, knowing that you ordain us, Lord, to worship you, Lord, Father. Lord God, knowing that you're the one who said the time will come and the true worshipers, Lord, which is us, Lord, will worship you in spirit and in truth, Father. Lord, go on the amount of things, Lord, that you have done for us, Lord, and show us and reveal to us, Father. Lord, it will take all of eternity to worship you and express appreciation and gratitude, Father. So, Lord God, this evening we come with our hearts full, Lord, Father. Lord, we come giving you praise and thanks, Father. Knowing even before we ask, Lord, Father, Lord, you will bless us, Father. Lord God, you will heal us, Lord, Father. Lord, you will make known, Lord, yourself to us, Father. So many times we come, Lord, Father, haphazardly, not with great expectation, Lord, and you look beyond that and still bless us, Lord, Father. Lord, indeed, you are merciful, Lord, Father. Indeed, you are long-suffering, Lord, and you are kind towards us, Father. Lord, and we appreciate you so much, Lord, Father. Lord, we have never come in contact with a friend, Lord, so close and so good as you, Father. Lord, and we praise and thank you, Father. Lord, even when we come tonight, we want to be drawn closer to thee, Lord, Father. Lord, we want to be partaker, Lord, of what's taking place, Father. Lord, as you sing this song, Lord, when you call, we want to raise the answer and follow, Father. Lord, regardless of where it is, Lord, Father. Lord, because we know that you're the one who ordained our footstep, Lord, Father. Lord, and we give you praise and thanks, Father. Whatever you have for us tonight, Lord, we want to have receptive hearts, Lord. Lord, to receive it, Lord, so the end of our hearts and soul could be drawn closer to thee, Father. Lord, and we come tonight, Lord, to cry out to thee, Father. Lord, we know you'll hear our cry, Lord, Father. Lord, we pray that you help us to cry out in faith and expectation, looking forward to see what we ask of you being granted, Father. Lord God, even those, Lord, in the region, Lord, Father, those worldwide, whoever might be logging in, Father, Lord, we pray that you remember them in a special way and just how you're blessing us and just how the anointing will be flowing tonight. We pray, Lord, that the anointing could also be flowing, Lord, Lord, in their areas, Lord, Father. Lord, our sin, Lord, and shortcoming and any attitude that we may come in the house of God with, Lord, we ask that you forgive us, Father. Lord, we ask that you magnify before us, Lord, so we could quickly repent, Lord, Father. Lord, and come in unity with you, Father. Lord, we commit, Lord, this day, this night, this service into your hands. Give your praise and thanks, Lord. Amen.
Amen. God bless each and every one tonight. Those that are logging in, our precious brothers and sisters throughout the Caribbean, it's always a special time to come on a Friday night to just lay everything at the altar. Amen. Amen. Come with that attitude tonight. Lay everything at the altar tonight. In your presence, Lord, I lay my heart before your throne. That's how we come tonight. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song. Just pour out your heart on him tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I lay my heart before your throne.
Lord, I bow my knees.
Lord, I bow my knees to you alone.
And though I know I'm guilty.
And though I know I'm guilty, you forget. That I can enter in.
isn't that wonderful tonight? Lord, I lay my heart before your throne.
Lord, I lay my heart before you.
Lord, I bow my knees to you alone.
Lord, I bow my knees to you alone.
And though I know I'm here,
I'm guilty. You forgive my sin.
God, we just worship Him tonight. Would you lift your own praise tonight? From the depths of your heart, you worship the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you. Tonight, Lord, so we can enter into your presence tonight. Hallelujah! 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Tonight, to bless it and eat it, a hunger and juice. shall be filled. Come for tonight.
Let your healing power revive and make me whole. Of God, let it rain.
Oh, Holy Spirit, you're my comfort.
You're my comfort. Oh, strengthen me. Hold my hand up high as I stand upon your truth,
singing glory.
Just a song to us. It's a need in our lives. It's a prayer from our heart. We all desire to be closer drawn. We desire that you would saturate our soul with the outpouring of his Holy Spirit. It would rain down into us tonight. This is what God promised. What a great thing when we could come approaching God, asking him for something that he promised, something that he said we must have in this time and season. And then we can see the need for these things, and we can come with the sincerity, with the faith, with the expectations that God doesn't defeat his purpose. God meets the need. God fulfills his word. Because this glorifies God. When his word can be made manifest. When he has sons and daughters who can empty themselves out and see God come down and indwell them. He said, I will dwell in you and I'll walk in you and I'll be your God. And you shall be my people. Our gracious Father, even as the evening sun has set this evening, and we have hastened from our homes to come up to this place, dear God. Come in, Lord, with anticipations and expectations, because when we think of the one that we are coming to meet, the one that is waiting here for us, the one who even reminded us that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves because of the great desire that he has to dwell amongst us, to lead us and to guide us, to work in and through us, because this is necessary to the fulfilling of your word. Lord Jesus, we so appreciate this opportunity this evening. Lord, if we can enter your courts with praise, if we can come into your gates with thanksgiving. Lord, we know that you have identified the time and the season. You sent a prophet. And because it was necessary for the elect of God to hear that word and recognize that that prophet came and was on the scene, Lord, you had to search us out and find us. And bring us in hearing distance that we could hear the word. And then the Holy Spirit had to reveal and make known to us and identify to us who that prophet was and the day that we are living in. And Lord, then to see your faithfulness that you did keep your word. And Lord, now we know it is necessary that you bring us into condition and have a people in harmony with you, that you can work in and through them
to the fulfilling of that which is to follow the going away of your prophet, Father. For you said, and the spirit and the bride will say, come. And these children who are to turn back to the faith of the fathers, Lord God, by and through them, you will fulfill all that you promised in this hour. You will finish that great commission. You will bring this church into such a perfection, into a sin-free church, until we draw the sleeping ones. Oh God, and the gospel can go back to the Jews. Lord, we know that this is this hour. So Lord, we see the value and the purpose of us coming together like this. That when we come, Lord, it's not just come here on a Friday because we have nothing else to do. But yet God is you waiting for us, Lord. Hallelujah. And we know, God, that you are happy. Lord Jesus, when we can take you at your word, because the devil said that we will not obey you. And that the devil made a stretch, Lord, that he will take us and control us. But Lord, our very presence is here to tell the devil is a liar. He do not know us, because we love you, Lord. Our heart purpose is to serve you. Hallelujah. He has nothing to give us. Oh, God. But we believe the testimony of your prophet coming back from behind the curtain of time and telling us what lays at the end of the road. That's why we are here determined to press the battle tonight. Oh, God. How the enemy thinks you can get lukewarm and indifferent and desensitized. But Lord, we look back in the Bible and see Abraham sitting in the tent with expectations. Oh, God. We see Joshua and Caleb, Lord, fighting the battle. And Caleb at 85 years old, saying his trunk is there for war. Oh, God, crying out, give me my mountain. Lord God, you put these examples. We see even fallen Samson. Oh, God, rising up and saying, just once more, Lord. Just once more. And willing to pay the price to see the power of God come back in his life. That is the way we come tonight, Father. Lord God, because when we see what you did in the past to your elected children, when we see the examples of believers in an hour just like that in which we are living in, Lord, we know if we approach on the same basis with the same attitude, we can expect the same results. Oh God, we thank you for giving us a place, a resting place for our faith, something we can tie our soul to, that we don't have to come with some work up emotion in the mind. We can come with conviction and confidence in our soul, dear God. Hallelujah. Knowing you set us upon a rock, you planted us. We ain't just stuck in. We are planted by the rivers of water. Oh, God, we feel our roots go deep down into your word, Father, tied to the absolute. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. Blessed be your wonderful name tonight. This is the conviction of our hearts, Lord. It's so good to stand with you, Father. We see hell following death. And we see where he is leading them in the lake of fire. Because it was prepared for him and his angels. We don't want to ride with that group. Oh God, we see heaven following life. And they who are with him is called and chosen and faithful. We are here to prove tonight that we are truly called and chosen and faithful. That's what we believe, Father. That's the conviction of our heart. We are none of them that draw back. We are them that believe to the saving of the soul. Hallelujah. We are here to run for the prize tonight. Oh God, we see we in the home stretch. Lord God, we are going to draw on every resource that we have for one great final effort, one great final push, dear God. Oh God, and at the end we can hear your voice say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord that we prepared for you since before the foundation of the world. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you for the confidence that you put in us, Lord. And you said we will stand, and we are determined to stand because we believe in the cause. Blessed be your wonderful name. Oh God, bring this realization. with greater faith and greater conviction to every heart. Lord Jesus, that there'll be nothing wavering in the minds of your children. But Lord God, their soul will be anchored to a place, oh God, where their hope is steadfast and sure. They have an anchor of the soul, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Blessed be your wonderful name. Take full and complete control, Father. Thank you for all that's gathered here this evening and all that's gathered throughout the region and across the face of the earth. Thank you, Lord, in this great gathering time when the redeemed are being gathered in, washed like snow and free from all sin. Thank you, O God. You said the shout would gather the bride. And here are many who have been gathered. They heard the shout. They recognize their day and their message. They heard the Jubilee trumpet song, proclaiming liberty throughout the land. Oh God, may that be their portion, that would never have to be entangled again in the yoke of bondage, but they will truly stand fast in the liberty with which you have made them free. Blessed be your wonderful name. We thank you, Lord. May your divine presence settle in and surround each one, Father. And may you brood upon us and let your love be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and give us that peace that passeth all understanding, that love that passeth all knowledge. Grant it, Lord, that we can know we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. We thank you and we commit all things into your hands. Lead and direct us in the paths of service. Get honor and glory to your name. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise his mighty name. Amen. I'd like to greet each one in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. So glad to come in this evening and just be gathered in his presence. Amen. Just coming in and standing in your post of duty is a testimony. It's a testimony. Amen. Glory be to God. People who have to travel, you know, they don't care if the whole nation going to see some soccer match in the stadium or going to some calypso tent or something. People who are traveling, they have the ticket, they have everything packed. And when you ask them, where are you going, boy? You're going to the stadium? Stadium? But I have a flight to catch. I'm going to the airport. Amen. And they get in line. They're not interested in the airport in pack because they know the flight is just so much people and everybody in the airport ain't really flying. They've got ground staff, that people walking up, people going to Bago. But you, where you going to your destination, you can recognize others checking in for the same flight. You understand that? So when you hear, it just shows you have your ticket in your hand, you have your passport, you have your visa, amen, and you're in the right place where you need to be. Because you can imagine you checking for your flight and people boarding, they're saying, okay, time to go to security, and you somewhere down in Port of Spain, you somewhere down in the stadium, they say, brother, I thought you have flight to catch. You say, oh my God, I forget the flight. Because somebody talk you to the atmosphere you need to be in now. So we don't care how much here, but just for you to be here and the flight checking in, glory to God, amen. Amen. And your heart is fixed on your destination. You know you're in the right place. While they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, they knew it not when the flood came. But those who was in the ark shut in. Amen. Glory. But who has to go above the judgment and come back in the new world, in the cleansed earth? They was in the right, they was where they need to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You see, things look ordinary and feel ordinary, but you need again the atmosphere where you're in, and it's ordinary again. It becomes supernatural. Ordinary and supernatural is really the state of where your mind is. When your mind aligned with God's mind, you walk in the supernatural. When you're out of alignment, you ordinary. I'm not hanging around, but I just lying in a chilling out. You understand what I mean? And you think you're using nice words to sound like you're okay. No. What are you doing? I'm about the Father's business. Amen. I'm about the Father's business. Hallelujah. Glory. This is so. It's good to know that you tune in. That's right. Where you are, you're conscious why you are here. And you know what happens here. Glory. And you know angels are here. The kind that didn't fall. But you know where the fallen angels are. You know where they are. Them other places I'm talking about. They're all down there anointing people. The last night at Pekong. The last night at Kalamso. They have a thing called under the trees. That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. All of them under the tree. That's right. They're going to be eaten from that tree. But we under the tree too. At the front tree. But you know we get here? Cherubims push us to this tree. Cherubim push us to this tree. Hallelujah. He wake us up to recognize the fruit on this tree, the fruit for the season. But where we eating ourselves in our new body. Hallelujah. Take the book and eat it. Amen. And you shall live forever. Just by you being here, it shows that what trapped their mind there couldn't trap your mind here. He know he'll have them to begin with, you know. But his boss, he'll have you down there too. But with you being here tonight, he talking soft. He can't talk as loud as he want to talk. You understand? Because you, by you standing here, he have to eat humble pie. God could have said, Satan, I thought this is what was going to be down there tonight. He said, look at me here worshiping and praising me, amen. Look at my house. Look at this, I was glad when they said, let's go in the house of the Lord. Not in the calypso tent of the devil, in the house of the Lord. Not in the panyard of the devil. No. Up here in the country. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, sir. Oh, brother. That is paying him. You see, he's a fellow full of pride. He's a fellow full of pride and make big boasts. And his ego is so big, he always trying to go where he belong. Because he's going to play like God. I will be like God. He could never be like God. To be like God, you have to get God-likeness. But if God make his son in his own image and likeness, God making a bride who is the life of his life, spirit of his spirit, word of his word, what he is, she is. Not the devil, he's going to hell. Amen. And it's good for me to remind you, all the negative thoughts, all that pressure, all that cold feeling is really that fella trying to put that on you. You know, you look how you feeling now, like you get tonic. You feel like something stimulating you. That's right. That's a real feeling. That's the feeling the Holy Ghost has given you. Hallelujah. Glory. The Bible just said in his presence, that's where I belong. In his presence there's fullness of joy. At his right hand is pleasures forevermore. You think man will have to give you a joke and all kind of smutty business to get you happy? That will get Kobo happy. King Kobo will give all the Kobo that to get him happy. You want to see a Kobo get happy? Give him rotten thing that stinking out of a worm called nugget. Watch that fella get happy. But you give the dove the word, brother. You give the eagle the fresh meat. You see something different. You see what does get them happy. Hallelujah. Yes! come on, God, amen. My. When you get a chance to put a kick in him, put a kick in him. Kick him down. Son of God must not be trodden down. Because you know what happened? When he kicking you and running a football, all them coyote and jackal and kobo, they'll be laughing. And they kick him again. Kick on high level. Yeah, kick him again. When God said kick them, amen. Yeah. Then they have no sympathy for him. That's right. You see, that'd be good when you know who the real enemy is. It's not the brother or the sister. He's the enemy. He's the enemy. You can vent your rage on him. Yeah. He doesn't want you venting on the brother and sister. And then look what they do you. Hear what they say about you. No, he and them say things, you know. Because they learn to keep him getting sealed out of their lives yet. But watch people who see lean. They say, no, stop that conversation. You can't say anything about him. Best you pray for him. Best you pray for his sister. It's going to go like that. People who see lean just talk so. They don't see the gossip. No! They say, let me pray for them right now. Instead of talking about that. That's right. See, because that fella, when it go back on him, he doesn't know. They say, we going up there tonight. He say, I still try to put some iodex in. He says, this black eye here, I ain't ready for the next one so quick. He said, we can write down them on a high, and that's the wrong time to interfere with them. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, sir. You want to be a real believer. Amen. You want to enjoy the presence of God. You don't just want to come to church. Coming to church, you just mean being in the building here. But the presence of God, I think they enjoy it. And they get happy. They get happy about it. They feel good. You want to feel God. You want to feel it in your heart. Your soul prospereth in the presence of God. Amen. Let us read Ephesians chapter 6. I felt a thought tonight and overcoming in this present evil age. Yes, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, Paul is ending up Ephesians. Remember Ephesians, parallel Joshua. He's writing Ephesians about the inspiration that the Son of Man came and he conquered that river of death, the ark in the midst of Jordan, had to open a way to bring a call out people who have been called out of Judaism into their inheritance. Because the first Exodus was only a type of the second Exodus. And Paul is one who is placed positionally in the Ephesians. He is placed as the messenger of the age. He is placed as a prophet messenger. God has set him in the church, equipped him with faith and virtue and knowledge and with visions and wisdom and authority. God and Judas man. And he understands his place. And he knows Peter, James, John, all them cross over too. Those called out of Judaism when the Son of Man came. And they all had been dealt a measure of faith. And they knew how to operate in what had been given to them. It's just like us. I'm not in Egypt. You think I'm in Egypt? No, I don't think you're in Egypt either. I can be over here preaching to you in Egypt. You understand? If you've been born, you've been born over here. See? Because over here we know our position. In the wilderness, we're wondering what our position will be. We're hoping we can make it over Jordan and see what the land is and have a place in the land for us. We're not there at all. 39 years in the wilderness, you know what? Making joke. That's why I'm walking. Not the things I'm eating. In the wilderness, is it man over fallen, baby fool? Over here, eating the mature grain. You understand? To eat that, you have to be over here. And that's why when you just come in the message, you have to eat that, because that means you've been born here. In the land, growing up here. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You see, they had no real war until they came there. You know? That's why when you're born, it's war every day. You're born in a land, it's war. You're in the midst of war. You're born in war. You're growing up in war. And all you see is war around you. And from small, you only hearing people talking about fighting for your land, taking your land, knowing your place, refusing to be shaken from your place. That's the talk you hear. You hear people talking about, but I get baptized. Ooh, boy, my water baptism was great. 15 years after, you hear people talking that here. No, people here is they're watching them big giants throwing down big people. And they say, you see me? I'm taking note of these things because I will have to face them. And I want to be on my back looking up at them so. I want to be standing looking at them down here. Spoiler. When I sever that head off like David and Goliath. He might be small, but he's standing up here watching him down here. Because God said every place is sole of your feet fell upon. See? So this is Ephesians. And he's ending Ephesians. And after he talks about all of this now, he reminds them there's a war. And that they should have the armor. Finally, see, he's closing. Finally. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There's a power of God's might. The power that God is operating. The Holy Spirit is powerful. God, when they came, when they crossed, when they reached that Jordan, they see a power come and open that Jordan, destroy that power. They come to Jericho, see a power blowing them walls. They see a power that stopped the sun. That's right. When they come in that land, they was only seeing, because they had an angel in the camp, had come down among them. They wasn't seeing him, Joshua had seen him. But they were seeing the effects of him. And they was hearing the word coming out from Joshua. And they was knowing that that word was him speaking. Because he was the head over in union with the body. And the prophet was of this scene and band through the members of that group, he is bringing them into their inheritance. And they know if they walk, keep walking, each one of them will come into their portion. Because that was the system. That is how it was set up. God bless our beloved saints and St. Kitts. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God. Why does he say, didn't he say put on the armor of God? Because he knows some didn't have on the whole armor yet. They have on pieces of the armor. Some of you will still get your condemnation battle when you're supposed to be walking in victory. Your breastplate. When your breastplate really on, there's no, there is now no condemnation. And if condemnation could rise up, you understand what is bring peace and remove condemnation. Because you understand how the blood is applied. So it doesn't live up today, don't tomorrow. And when they see you going to jail, you're all condemned. And they know, no. They know you've been taught your position. You've been taught what the blood done for you. It do have a save and lost gospel. You see, if today lost tomorrow, no. It have a thing where you just come to a place where if when you're born into the womb, you can't go back in the womb and live. You understand? You just come into a place where you know it's yours. Fellas like Caleb and them, when you hear them talking the land. And they were in three big giants in 85 years. And them fellas young and strong and want to intimidate him. And this old man just violated Joshua. He said, what is the matter there? He said, they will be as bread. These fellas have moves because them is like old masters. 5 young fellas run to them, think they're so well armed. Them fellas make 2-3 moves. Brother, they don't even know where that come from. Because these fellas just move under inspiration. You see, God had talk things about them. They know God say about them. God say, only he going in. He has wholly followed the Lord. Caleb know what God say. He tell Moses, he said, remember what God said about me. He said, I ready for my mountain. When God talk to you and tell you things about you, and you know God don't flatter. And you see what God say coming to pass in your life. And he see all kind of men healthier than him die. 38 years there. He's the only man remains standing alive. Who younger than him die, who older than him die. Because God say only the 2 of them going in. 38 years when everybody drop off dead, he remains standing. And he come into a more close shaves with death than them so many times. But God have a word over him that he has to go in. And God keeping that word. And that knowledge have this man faith so. And he know he can't die until he possess all what God say about him. You understand? Put on the whole arm of God that you may be able to stand. You can't stand if you don't have the whole armor on. Put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the deceit, the trickery, the cunning methods is what it means. That he employed, the strategy that he has used upon you. He knows exactly how to wear you down. How to confuse you, how to deceive you, how to oppress you, how to desensitize you, how to inflate your ego, how to build you up. He knows exactly how to do these things, how to butter you up and make you get overconfidence and think of yourself more highly than you have to think of yourself and lose your soberness and go on an extreme and become a fanatic. He just push you there. And you're going there and you have no evidence that God have you there. He demanded to get a false dream, lying dream. He demanded to get a lying vision. Real in high definition. That man will rise up and shout down Jeremiah, who have the word. And then he said, you ain't not the love of God, brother. We're coming back here in 2 years. Jeremiah said, amen, brother. He was off the scene before the year done. Trying to make a big papi show and humiliate God's servant. That's right. Want to make people feel he have the word, but he had no word. He had a lie, and God didn't give him the lie. God will give lies. But his plug was in the wrong socket, and he getting bothersome unclean electricity. Fry up the whole system. You see that bring like a Christmas tree. He said, what's going on here, boy? That current is stable. See? He walking through emotion. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is a reality. This is not a statement, you know. This is a consciousness. You have to know who you're fighting. Anytime you see in flesh and blood, you're not in the battle. You already done under an illusion. He done changed your scene already. He making you see things the way he wants you to see it. To ground off your power. He said, we wrestle against flesh and blood. You don't target brothers and sisters. No. Them is not the enemy. You don't play the blame game. And trying to, boy, if that one didn't do me that, I would have been fought up the road. And if them people didn't do me this, and they're always in my way, and if this one didn't hinder me. No. With God, wasn't it? God has given Paul to jump over that troop and leap over this wall and don't get sidetracked with this. It's God's voice to say, keep on moving, bypass that and go. That is a detour. You understand? But against principality and powers. This is where our battle is. Against principality and powers. Supernatural devils. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We have to understand some of these principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. Because this world is a world of darkness. And they have brought it dark. And they have kept the people in this world in that darkness. They're the rulers of the darkness. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. A lot of things that is happening. That men in principalities and powers doing and passing. They get that influence and they know where that influence is coming from. And because they're in positions to receive that influence. You understand? That's why Judas was with them. And Judas with them and getting thoughts. And the thoughts he getting coming from a source, he didn't know where them thoughts coming from. And he's playing a game. He thinking, well, Jesus will just come out of it. Because he thinks Jesus is a magic man show. A Houdini thing, you know? Every time you get in a situation, you come out of it. So he decided to steal these people money. And he, by the time he betrayed him and see him die, he ended up not going to commit suicide after. Because he realized all that he did, where his soul end up. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. You saw in verse 10, he tell you about that, verse 11 rather, and then verse 13, he come back. After he explored principality and power and spiritual wickedness and the real darkness, he said, wherefore? Well, I tell you just now, make sure you have on the whole armor. In other words, you see why I'm telling you, you need the whole armor? When he talked about these fellas inside of here. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. First he said that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Now this evil day he's talking about is the same day that John saw when the pit opened and all these principalities and all these powers and all these rulers of darkness. It's these fellas who come out, you know. That army who come out is who come now and as Barabbas said, can you see Lucifer building his kingdom? So they build this kingdom here. Before them fellas come out, nobody want no same-sex marriage, you know. Before these fellas come out there, they didn't have the key yet, you know. The key who opened it to bring these fellas out. See, because the science ain't developed there yet to be able to open up that dimension. Stand therefore, after you may be able to that you may be able to stand the evil day, having done all to stand. Having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. This is what is going to cause you to stand. Truth. Truth. Truth does make you free. The lie does put you in bondage. The lie is the darkness. Them fellas just rule the world with by perverting the truth and holding them in ignorance. Them have all denomination from Catholic Pentecostals in darkness. In the lie. You understand? They have this is highly organized for them. They organize carnival. How much? 100 million or 90 something million they put for this year, Dimash Gras. If these fellas say, make it more beautiful, bring out the women more naked. Now these other fellas now, years ago they used to do that, but now they have aerobics and things to get women ready to hit the street. Because the costume, the designing, young women have to be in condition. And they don't want them faint in the road because the music they're writing. And then the drugs now to keep them pump up. For that time in the hot sun. And that affect now and build up the high before them days come. You understand? It's men organizing this and they call it culture. They say tourism. They talk about tourist revenue. The hoteliers. They are in the stock taking an inventory. They're done bringing all the extra whiskey, all the extra special drinks, all the different people who make the power drinks. You understand? They're done mixing up all that too and having that. Because when the clientele come, they just want water, they want gin, they want vodka, they want different things. This is when they're done, they're checking profits. The prime minister and them, she don't want Dimash Gras. Then the television rights to put it across the face of the earth. Then we ending up now that as an important tourist destination, they call it, putting Trinidad on the map and marketing our culture. That is why they call them principality and powers. To do this, you have to be educated. This is people with university degree who are doing that. You understand? This is the woman walking, sir, flinging that keys and go out in that Audi and sit down there. And when they turn that key, they hear them in the engine back and take off. And they step out so they put that sleek foot out that door. Because that is an image. They're working in the high-rise buildings. And that's what it's called life and success and progress. But this is hell. And people never picture hell that beautiful. Because the devil is dealing outward beauty. He's dealing outward beauty, but God has given us spirit and discernment. Truth. And having the loins of your mind girded with truth. So all that lie can penetrate your mind. Because so I explained that, yeah? He know that ain't fooling me. Because I just tear down and dismantle what he just do to make it look nice. And that just burst many people bubble and they get vexed with this kind of preaching. When you're trying to take away the success and the glamour. That they're finally making it big. You understand? And I just make that life look like dirt. It's worse than dirt, it's filth. Sorry to have you standing, but sure, after having all to stand, stand. Hallelujah! Glory! Stand there having your loins girded about the truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see them Roman installations is all over in them countries. And when the Romans legion was marching, many of them are going from place to place. You have to get past to go through. Because Rome conquered the world. That's how it is today with visa, how America ruling. So many countries, the American passport is passed through, but everybody else had to stop and line up. When they reach immigration, say, U.S. visas here, citizens here, others here. And you start there, though, and you, You hope it, you get the pass through. There's walking here and they're going through. Well, so it was in that part of the Roman time. That's why Paul said you are citizens of heaven. Because they understood what it was to be a Roman citizen in the Roman world. It was a powerful thing. Like how Americans today understand what it is to be an American citizen with an American passport. You understand? Well, so it is when they were seeing them soldiers, the Roman legions, all their men had helmet and breastplate and shield, and they had their feet shot and just walking. So Paul is using what is there visible to everybody, what they are accustomed seeing and meeting, and saying, you see, that is not decoration. Because that is protection on the battlefield. So he is saying, you Christian, you on the battlefield, you better have your protection. So when he said breastplate, he didn't leave that breastplate against arrow or spear. He said breastplate of righteousness. He said sword of the spirit. He said your loins girded with truth. You understand? He's showing you these things you need to engage this enemy in warfare. Because you see, the Greek army come in, and nobody have helmet, nobody have breastplate, nobody have sword, and they just come in. This is where they're going. It's not Olympics, it's war. All of them get killed immediately. You understand? Well, so it is. So it is. Paul is saying, you want to be on this battlefield, you better have revelation. You better have specific revelation, because the kind of weapons the enemy must use, you will need a revelation of righteousness. The kind of tactics this fella have to mess up the loins of your mind, you better have truth good in there. That when he says it is written, you better say it's also written. And stand there knowing it's also written, and they're like, checkmate. You had a back off, you realize you ain't no pushover. You try that big religious self on you, quote that scripture, reading your hard scripture, and you smile, and you make your next move with confidence. You had a back off. You realize, here, this is not a paper tiger here, this is something real. That's a real soldier. That fella did his homework. He belonged in the battlefield. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Because they used to have shield when you're in sword fight. Or a man coming out with a spear or something. But they know the real value of shield. And they had to remodify the shield. It couldn't be no short shield. When them fellas move up now into bow and arrow. And when you see clouds and like hail from the sky, arrows coming down, you better have a shield big enough that you can put your whole body behind like this. Amen. To quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. He's talking about a scene on the battlefield. This is not your picnic scene. This is not your casual domestic environment. This is where you engage in warfare. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He watched how Jesus used that shield, tempted in all points, and yet without sin. Every dart the enemy threw on him, Jesus was right there. Okay. He teaches us how to overcome. And here was Paul, the overcomer after Jesus, walking there. He was qualified to teach that. He was a time-tested memorial. And take their helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And he didn't finish there, you know. A lot of that could be mechanics. But watch some dynamics, you know. Praying always. Praying always with all prayer. With all prayer. Because that variety of prayer. That different kind of prayer. That intercessory prayer. It's that prayer where you're begging God for something. It's like prayer supplications. You see? It have fellowship with God too. You're getting that atmosphere of fellowship. You're inquiring of the Lord. See, with all prayer and supplication in the spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance. This watching is observation, keen observation. You ain't missing a thing. Who went there? Who's that? Check that out for me. Hey, hold on a minute there. Open that bag. Right now. Take him aside. Put him in that room there. Give my body search. See? Watching every move. With all perseverance and supplication for all things. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Because sometimes, when the devil realizes he can't hinder this or hinder that, he's trying to block airline, he's trying to do this, he's trying to block visa and different things. The next thing you want to do is prison. Silence the voice. The tax case was to put him in jail. That was the move to put him in jail. He said, but somehow I leap over that wall. I even know I get out. He said, that was the hand of God because the angels was coming and that tax case was the wall that tried to block me from going west. But that was an appointment with God and the time had to come. Nothing can hold back that. That utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Because he knew he was carrying the mystery. Many was carrying the gospel, but he had the mystery of the gospel. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You son, you hear that word? Wednesday night? In Durban, the first service. The boldness. That's the word following the healing revival, you know. That went forth. Yeah. That's the voice that he wanted to come back to open the mystery. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I have to speak. May Lord bless you. You may have a seat. Be off your feet. Take your seat. Enjoy your seat. Until you have to stand again to change your position for prayer. But, you know, just it's good to be in the house of God. Amen. Yes. Nice to be here tonight and have a little Bible study. Bible study is always nice. The church, you know, sometimes you come to preach and being like a pastor, you know, I get up this morning, could imagine, I get this morning to my bed. And what came to me as I open my eyes out of sleep, an image come back in my mind, one of our sisters. I was preaching sometime, I think it would be in the pulpit Sunday, and I caught a glimpse of her. And it's amazing when I caught the glimpse of her face where she was sitting in the seat there. I get up and that picture of her face come back to me there. And I begin to think, these sisters have already smiled, and the smile like wasn't there. And the eyes was like a sort of blank stare looking around. And in my mind I'm saying, oh, I need to talk to her. I need to talk to her. Because I could see like a picture is worth a thousand words. One expression that God can have. The point I'm making is God could have to see just one thing. In other words, spoken. But that day, you know, oh, the enemy is trying to get at her again. She needs some encouragement right there. To be reminded to tighten the belt a little bit and stand. I know that's the enemy trying to come back for a second claim. How we want to be watching with close observation and have the eye, when we look, we can feel what each other feel. Because we can, you know, you have different pictures of people in different moods. So sometimes, you know, some people, they're always radiant. And, you know, even though they're going through hardship, trial, pain, you never know until somebody say, you know, Sancho,
He said, making a joke. I talk to that person. He said, no, she is keeping it. Her conviction is she has to be tested and tried, and she is depending on grace to overcome, and she's standing with strong conviction, believing that God is a helper, and she is determined she'll overcome this thing. So she don't feel, you know, she had a dark and kind of come to face long, and everybody said, you're going through something. Say, how do you know? You have time, I could tell you. No. Some people learn, if I never had a problem, how would I know that God could solve them? Some people learn that. So they know, through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus. And some people now, they thank God for the mountains and the valleys, because they saw what previous valleys brought them to. And they saw what mountains, how God was glorified when they had certain mountains. You understand? And these people begin to catch the mystery of what life is. And so they know it's a script God has written about their life. And their life is not just... You love this story about Naomi and Ruth. You know why? Because they didn't start from a high. They come in as poor as poor can be. They come in when Naomi, they don't even call me Naomi. Call me Mara. But Naomi means pleasant. Call me bitter. You see? Because the hand of the Lord, he have chastened me. I'm under chastening. But she's taking it there. But then when she started to see them handfuls coming in the house and find out who the man is, she wasn't saying, call me Mara at all. He said, yeah, you know who this man is? This is our family. She said, shall I not seek rest for you? The clouds had turned to the right angle. From the storm, she shall see angel wings beaten together. She no weeping and joy for a night, but there's joy coming in the morning. That is why I love this story. See, when you see Esther, born maiden, if she started with a queen and she in the kingdom here, and Ahasuerus, you know, kind of looking at her, say, I'm not going in that, why going in that for? I'm a queen already. I don't know Gentile king. No. She's a born woman. And this now was an elevation to a next level. And this was something that is going to take God to do. And they so, Mordecai so understood that that was God. He says, for such a time as this, you come into the kingdom. Because we know it takes God to take you, a Jewish born maiden, to be king here, to be queen here. God turned that king heart towards you. You see, because God designed this way to take care and provide for his people who is suffering here, because we are God covenanted people. And that is how the Jews get saved in the kingdom there. When Haman had the plan for the genocide. You see? So you like this story, so because it was people who were in a low state, who looked like nothing, but look what they came. Because in there, you see the mercy of God, who go down the dung heap to exalt one. Who take up one of the low thing of the world to exalt one, to magnify his grace, to show his election. To show it's not them who are noble and high of this world that is called, is them who are nothing and base of this world who God does call. Because he just take nothing and make something out of it. This is God. So that's why when you look here, you know, you realize your life, you want to, if your life is just, as you say, you're born with a gold spoon in your mouth, and all through life, you're going to end up there with nothing, no character. And God will really not be magnified in your life. That is why you see in the Bible, all who was king, and all who had big things, and the children born in the kingdom, watch the trouble. Watch the trouble. Watch Absalom. Watch Amnon. Watch all them trouble it has. See? Why? Because God write this story to show he is sovereign. And every role he gave everybody, regardless of a high life or you come from a low life, everybody will learn suffering and pain and victory and defeat and these things if you are a child of God. Because that is why his life is the example life. He came down and he was spit upon and was humiliated. If the God of heaven who had cherubim and seraphim crying holy, holy day and night had to go through that, how much more you and me? So that's why one of the things that I think that we are missing many times is we don't sit back to realize how powerful these truths are, that earth is the testing ground. That God wants to, God has planned your life with the intent that you will become the word to go into the king, his kingdom. To go into that theophany and come into glorification. It is not about having good things. God made men like Job who had such wealth, so rich in silver and gold and cattle and sheep and all these things, to be sitting on an ash heap scraping boil and no doctor can help him. You understand? To bring him down to the air, because it was more in line with God's purpose to let Satan see the character of God's children and God's servants. When you realize your life is not so much about you, it's about something of God. Your joy is to see God's election and calling in your life. To see what you predestinated unto. That's his sovereign purpose in your life. And that's why he says, the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to us. Because many times, people bawl and squeak for things that will never ever kill them. It just discomfort them for a while. They fight up because they want people to see them with a bobo foot. So they might want to sit on home and stream, but they would not come to church and slip out dragging their foot suit to be in the house of the Lord. They like when they're walking with a nice new shoe matching dress and they can skip and step and that stockings looking good and everything else. They walk in here and say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. But the day that'll come like this. No, they feel embarrassed. Because they feel bad people seeing them so. This is a person who have not fellowshipped deeply with Calvary. To see the Savior naked on the cross, lifted up, and made a gazing stock. And never asked themselves, why would the God of heaven and earth with cherubim and seraphim, who can speak a word of existence, why would he plan his own life that way? And that's what the prophet teaches in Wild Little Bethlehem. He said, if he left you and me to plan his birth, we have him in the best pink decorated hospital room. He said, but when he planned his own birth, he planned in a manger, no place to lay his head. And being wrapped with swaddling clothes, he had the immaculate virgin born coming. And they're taking an old cloth of an ox yoke to wrap him in. When you understand that, you understand some of life. Because that is your Redeemer. Yes. And he says, you have to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. That you will know him in the power of his resurrection. And you're looking for resurrection and you understand power to lay down your life here. And you're looking for power to raise up and you ain't learned the power to lay down your life yet. Because you can't lay down that. You can't lay down that pride. You can't lay down that image. You can't lay down that self. Now the only reason that make that hard is when you allow those things that blind you. Like it meant something. I get more money. I get better clothes. And you let that influence you to make you feel it actually made you better. Because you didn't realize, no, the body is more than this tail. And Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like the little lily of the field. Jesus is teaching that. Why? To carry our carnal thoughts a little deeper into his purpose behind life. That influence that is not coming from God, that influence comes from the world. Because the person who influences coming from God is knowing, I dress up here to kill, but I strongly temper for years. And I still have 3 new suits to put on inside there. Wait until I lash out with that too. I didn't think this was powerful. They're more powerful behind there, what coming behind here. And this temper that I can't put off. I wish I could have put it off like I put off this clothes. As easy as that. And I wish I could have really put on that righteousness and dress in it looking so nice and come out even though the clothes outside old. Because after all, it's only one they're going to bury you in. And if there's a glory that's so powerful and fade away, when death fade away, it stay there, cockroaches and eat it, and, you know, rats and bite it up and everything else, you know, kind of mildew and things that get on the thing, then that is not glory. That glory can even last. A life. You die and leave it. And it could help you remain here and lengthen your life. You understand? People just get bent out of shape when they can't have these little things in life. And Jesus said, that is the Gentiles. When is the Gentiles? Gentiles is heathen. Heathen is unbeliever. Unbeliever is no concept of God. So he said, that is the Gentiles. They're worshiping the creation, not the creator. They're bowing down to the idol because there's no consciousness and no fellowship with the creator. The creator is not unveiled to them. So they kind of look and see the most powerful animal and they make a lion god. They see the most powerful bird, an eagle, and they make an eagle god. And in that demonstrates that kind of power or rank in nature, they change the image of God, the Bible saying the reptile and bird and beast. And show how ignorant they are. And end up worshiping the creation instead of the creator. Because the thoughts couldn't get to another level to see it is a God who made that bird. And they never even conceive. I wonder what he is like if he could make things like this. And what would his purpose be in doing this? You understand? So in the light of this, you tell me what is battle. You tell me what is battle. Half of that battle is because you understand the purpose of life and the purpose of your pre-planned life. The thing the problem is fighting up for. And Dr. David saying, that fella pick up spirits. So you're just crying. I hear you going to a cave. I'm passing by your wife this evening. I said, Wibbly. I come to tell him, you know, kind of sorry I buffed him up the other night. See. He said, your neighbor, tell me over here, he said, honey, if I come back, you take your little children. I didn't know I can't live like this. And he go in a cave. He said, preacher? He said, no, that fella erratic. He have no demon, you know. He misunderstand life. When the angel comes, you know, he come to cast off your demons over you. No. He said, I come to explain to you your strange and misunderstood life. From Dandy, he saw life from God's perspective. He walked out of the cave. Remember? Now get this. You said, nah, because the angel came. No, angel, the same angel come to Cornelius too. In the house. He didn't like to go in that cave. He came in the bedroom. And the angel talked to him. And said, your prayers are soon. He's like, you're a good man. And all that you prayed for and asked for is given to you. So, isn't that angel talking to you? It's what the angel opened to him about himself. Because when Peter came, the man came, who the angel said, he will talk to you. Then the man opened the word and showed this Gentile man the concept about God. That he prayed to, that God was in this man called Jesus. And something was done in Jesus, and though he even saw the God who was veiling Jesus come to him in theophany, he had to understand what God did in that body to loose him from his sins. To receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit. You get what I'm saying? I'm saying this. If God come to you in the morning and the same angel come in the room and talk to you, and he ain't make a way for you to know what he did in the body of the man called William Branham in this age, then you still ain't getting nothing. All you can say is that man appeared in a light. So. Because God did something this day. The opening of the seals, the call to the bride, the message get her ready. Show how we pay for great translation faith. God not coming back to do that. And no angel coming to spend all day talking to nobody about that. Because you already put the message in tape and book. And you already have people there to speak that word. And all I can tell you is, I will send a man in your house to you. Because he knows all his servants is who have that word of the mystery of what he did in that body on the earth. Isn't that right? So my thing is, put up into a battle. No, you need understanding. A little understanding will solve your whole picture. I used to be talking to a couple the other night. So we were talking. And this is the most experience with demon oppression, different things. I'm saying, fine, I'm listening. So when I got my conclusion is as a doctor, I said, no, I'm not disregarding what you see. The demon there, what you felt, the eerie feeling. Because devils are everywhere. Now 200 million added to what it had before on the earth right now. And when you walk in every day, you only see nice people. You see some criminal, you see some vagrant. You even see some real obnoxious one in jacket and tie where you're walking inside the office. Worse than the vagrant and the criminal outside. Because he's an educated criminal. He's dealing with white collar crime. The kind of crime he's dealing, the uneducated criminal can't operate in that level as a criminal. He no choke and run pickpocket. This fella knows so long he'll drive a big car and deal with figures. The criminal who make the atomic bomb that could kill millions in Iraq, them is criminal scientists, because they conscious, they are heading a weapons program, and that what they are producing is going to be used to kill innocent people and thief the thing under disguise. Wait a minute. What is the difference between them and a big man working for the cartel? It's the same. This one is protected with what they call government and national security, two words. That they could play around in a court of law on the earth. But in God court, you think they could plead that? You think they could plead that in God court? They can't hide behind no word and smart title. Well, that's what we're talking about. Cyclists just say, you will see that all the time. You see, because see angels and feel the Holy Spirit come near and get charged from a theophany too. I said, but no devil out of how much 100 million it have present None can touch not one son and daughter God until God get permission. And when God get permission, he just give them boundary. I said, no, write Bible now. You go back to Job 1, you see how God dealing, and you see the devil is under orders, restriction, and it is in alignment with God's will and purpose for his children, because God understands what earth is. You don't forget God's purpose of the earth by getting lost in your house. Or your motorcar in your garage. Or your clothes there, or your food in your cupboard. Food, clothes, and shelter that mess up people's mind, and they forget what earth is. Earth is a testing ground. Earth is for people in the pretty orphany stage. Earth is a place, is God's school, where righteous men are molded into saints and sages. Earth is God's big print tree, where rags just go through a process to become parchment paper with the king image stamp upon it. It's what earth is. The influence of how Satan wants us to see the world is what has messed up the concept. And then you decide to get into that rat race. You start to push and shove because, you know. And then when you get things the wrong way, because God, by his permission, will say, okay, I gotta, you think there's happiness and you're disobeying me. And you're thinking my word is some little philosophy. And you think, no, you're missing opportunity. So you're chasing it down. Like Esau, you want that trophy. Okay. You get it. When you get it, it ain't get you happy. When you get it, you get it with sorrow. When you get it, you can't keep it. When you get it, it's going to bend you out of shape. And it's going to bring more problems into your life. And then you start to see now, look at time I waste for this. Because I couldn't prioritize. I couldn't understand. Because I lack contentment. Because I lack godliness. Because I wanted to be accepted by a group of people. And I get pushed to do that. And people tell me, Gil, I don't let nobody keep you down in life. This time in God's kingdom, angel only come to the Father. You say, that son and daughter you have there, I tell you. You say, is the youngest in all my tutorship days. I see they like they're ready for adoption already. Because the things I test them with and the way they're handling them tests, they really understand what life is. He said, yeah, in this age, I bring them as in an eagle, a prophetic level. So that's expected. He said, I forget to mention that to you. But God will forget that, but it's like, you see, somebody don't tell angels everything. How will I deal with the children? But these in this age, what they know in other ages, they long to see. But I make it known to them in this age. This one here is called them super race and super church, these here. He said, you see how they're resembling me? He said, they're a different group here. And this is a kind of twist. This is a kind of wrong side way I'm using this. To say, half of the battle is not battle. Half of the people going to battle is not battle. That is they trying to walk in the armor and falling down and can't stand up, and next thing you know, falling their own sword and say, boy, you talk like an enemy, you'll take my life. No. You just your understanding to get your balance and get your vision focused and understand your purpose a little bit. And then get your thinking filtered a certain way. And then you're cool. All them things where you tripping over, that's sidestepping things, sir. all of you bumping into and say, boy, I thought I'd be the enemy. And you know God a lot of time to be born and a time to die. And death can't come to God already, no time for you. Sometimes you ain't catch the experience right. Sometimes God don't want to give you faith in how much control you have over your life. Because you only walk and see devil, negative, pessimist, devil, what do you this? So God put the devil there and said, boy, that devil gonna kill me today, boy. That Maxi driver, crazy, that man drunk, but I was done the car with him, I was running late. And boy, that car turned over, so. He said, yeah, you only walk around that scratch. God said, you see? I watching over you every second of the day. So you don't worry. You don't spend your time worrying who want to kill you and worrying and you're watching your KG and your KG. Forget that. Start to see me, your Heavenly Father. I love you. I have chosen you. I ordained for you. So I end up saying, when Israel has come out of Egypt, hear my medicine, hear how I dispense my medicine. I told my sister. I said, when Israel come out of Egypt, I said, Pharaoh army coming after Pharaoh. He said, what? I losing these slaves? Nah, I go back for them. I had them in bondage all these years. No, I ain't giving them up so. I'm going after them. And when they look and they see, not Egyptians coming with food, and then please, I'll come back to us, please. You know, we'll treat you all better if you all come back. No, they coming with chariot, war chariot. They come with spear and swords. They come with aggression. This, you hear in Ten Commandments, they are charging. Say, let me stand and talk to them. I'll talk to them. I'm Pharaoh's sister. He say, ma'am, a charging chariot knows no rank. When that them the same child, they get so terrified. You know what happened? They start a ball. Moses, you bring me up there to kill me. We should have remained in Egypt. None of all of us are down here. Moses and all got into the commotion and said, oh God, what to do? The pillar of fire dropped down. And all them Egyptians see the pillar of fire. And then the Bible said this pillar of fire moved. Where he was, he moved and he come and stood straight between them and the Egyptian. What was the reason? What was the purpose? What was the objective? By their seeing, they got killed today. We're going to die. They didn't have enough grave in Egypt. Now we grave going to be in the wilderness. What kind of burial this going to be? Look at the manner which you're going to die all of you now. You are genocide. We're dead today. They wasn't seeing God. They forget I sent a prophet from birth. Hang over the queen of pillar of fire. Give him 2 signs to confirm the commission. Had the spoken word. Bring the plague on Egypt. Take the people out. Open the mystery of the token. Put them under the blood. Have them in the march. God decide, I'm going to stop this nonsense right away. God in trouble. I said, I beg you. All God do, he do stand up between them and the Egyptian. In other words, God said, I'll show you how when you ain't see no trouble and you see this big God, a consuming fire standing here. Everybody get calm. Everybody fears God. Everybody getting ready to dance, you know. Because that one move God make, all them getting ready to drum. God getting ready to drum all of them. Because God tell Moses, he said, you camp right here by the Red Sea between these two mountains. He said, Pharaoh is going to see, all you have no retreat, all these sitting ducks. Them men will draw their sword and they're going to come out here. And they're talking while they're coming. Who are you killing first, the father or the child? Next one says, I think before I'll have these two young ladies before I kill them. He said, wait, next demon, everybody making their own threat and they're all coming to devour these people. God move in the middle there and say, look unto me. In other words, he make them put their eyes on him who is their deliverer. He who is in the process of bringing his promised word prophesied for the to pass. And all of that was part of God's plan to show them how complete a deliverance he is giving them. But their mind, not in that channel to fellowship with God's thoughts. So they think, you know, something going wrong. Like that little baby eagle, when she tears the nest and climbs out the nest. They say, but oh God, because look at that. God will love me. I tell you, God will love me. Look at the thing I'm going through. And before they get to the ground, Mama Eagle fly and pick them back up. This is how we're saying, hey, he ain't trying to kill me after all, you know. He teaches me to fly. He leads me to greater discovery. He operate in a position with the equipment that he put inside of me. The training program. When the conscious ones come out of it, this is what I was thinking about. I'll never doubt him again. The unbelievers 2 days after was quarreling again. Because they ain't learning nothing from what they passed through. They ain't sitting down to meditate. God was being misunderstood. Because they failed to realize whatever God do, you have a reason and purpose for doing it. Here is the school and he's teaching you things in the school. And these are the lessons of life. And this is for you growing up from one stage, one level to another level. And tests has come when it's time to go up to another level. And God has only test you on what he teach you. That's why he prove his word by believers. He teach you the word. He give you experience to make the word spirit and life in you. And then he tests you on the word to operate in the word. And you're moving on. This is what life is. When time for tests, God does test you. When time for battle, God wants the devil to know these in costume people getting ready for carnival. No. A trainer in a gym, he didn't, when he go and put his fighter on a fight, a championship fight, to take the belt, he said, don't they watching films with the fella? And he's teaching him. He said, oh, you see that? Watch all his move. Then he had to watch all his fellow fights. He says, he take them psychologically first. By the time they get in the ring with him, they already lost half the battle already because they're coming with fear. He says, watch the moves here. Watch him take them in the corner and deceive them. On the contest, David Prophet say, he says, you have to study your enemy, how he fights. When they say, I just told you, we are soldiers, soldier, standing on the battle line. You know, we are talking about our soldier talk, singing soldier song. You know, all the kind of thing. And when you, and from time you are engaged in the war, you know, nobody singing no soldier song, you know. Singing song about funeral, soldier. He leave the battle, he had a battle fight. You can start with a coffin and say, you old stinking dog, because I'm a Christian. You say that you're going to rapture, you lie, you false prophet. He the next body. And you wasting your time. Because no matter what you tell him, you can spit at him and kick him and bite him and pinch him. He's not going to respond because he's dead. He has nothing to respond. This warfare. When time for warfare, God has arranged the battle because God wants the devil to know this is the overcomer. This is the one you couldn't get, Satan. This is the one you taught. Because every time God leads Satan something, God weakens him and humiliates him. He make Abraham lie. He says, I find the chink in that man armor, boy. I dismantle him. God say, think it's so? You judging him by that? He said, no, man. He said, he will not obey you. He said, he will obey me. He obey you. He said, well, let me show you how much he going to obey me. He said, Abraham, go and kill your son whom you love. The one you love the most. Take that one and kill it. For me, offer in a burnt offering. This fella thinking it's a joke, you know. He right there, he watching me. He following me up the mountain. He following me right up that mountain, you know. Yeah. After Abraham talked to that boy, he realized everything is only Abraham, he had any hand to deal with. At 116 or 117, he have that boy to deal with. There, so young already, and that boy in full submission to his father, much more God. But his father fighting up with to obey everything God tell him at 86 years old. This boy at 17 years, life fully surrendered to death for his father, you know. His father is still at 17 years, you know. His father get coronated at 75, you know. God has a way to show the devil. He said, yours go obey you, so? He said, I'll give some the body to be burned, but then after I deceived them, you know, I think I lied to them and thinking, of course, I'd fool them and tell them that 70 virgin waiting for them. He said, but these here, not only go and kill him, you know, but also what the faith he have and the knowledge he have of me. Right. You hear what he tell them boys there? Eh? The lad and I will go and come back. He said, watch the obedience here and watch the knowledge of me also. He's not letting the knowledge of God go into raising back up, because his faith is, if God say kill him, I'll kill him. And if God say raise him up, then God can raise him up too. Because in Isaac shall I seed be called. So he have faith in God and he have obedience to God. Isn't that a funny relationship? It's an understanding of the character and the person that he is walking with, that has called him. The one that brings him justification to sanctification to the new birth, bring him to the new body. This is the one he's walking with. Are we coming to say? Justification? Sanctification? The new birth? The mysteries, the Son of Man revealed, the last time before he changed the body. So what's the battle? If you could obey God, so you have a battle. He frightened you. You go to hell and you go to a mind battle and a first field. What battle? What battle? When you have battle, God say, I want you. Like God should training the prophet in the background. He says, now watch that mamba. He says, you know who that mamba is? I call him mamba. He says, because anytime he get them jaws on somebody, that poison in them. He says, it's unbelief, you know. Sin. He said, now you, I'm training you, and you will have power to bind him, the worst. The power to bind him loose. You'll not be afraid at all. He liked to intimidate people. He saw them take off in the air. Mamba! Everybody said to run. He said, no, you ain't going to be running. But I assure you, the never feeling presence will be with you. He said, bind him! He said, I bind you. He said, loose him now if you want. If you're not going to lose him right now, lose him already. He said, I lose you. He loose him again. He said, bind you back! He said, this works. He's a son and daughter of God. Amen. That is why God has gone through with you to teach you your destiny. Hallelujah. Your origin, where you come from, and your destiny. Your pre-existence, your earthly journey, and your eternal destination. When you already know your eternal destination before you reach there, you're not worried about life. When you understand and you get the seal of God and can't get unsealed, like you see your name in the book and your life is the matching piece. Amen. And you come to the knowledge of eternal life. You are eternal as God is eternal. Amen. Your concept is different. Your walk is different. Your reaction is different. What he says, Yama? The helmet is salvation. In other words, you don't have the helmet until you understand your salvation. You don't have the breastplate until you understand your righteousness. These are revelations. These are revelations that fortifies you. Because the devil way to you is trying to get past them revelations. Or the only people he could attack and hurt is who don't have them revelations. When the enemy moved false teaching, what did God do? Move it through teaching to combat it. And in every age, it had what? Overcomers. Overcomers. Why? Some people know how to take the word. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And faith is a victory that overcomes the word. Because faith is revelation. There's no prevailing power as revelation. The gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Above is on the sword of the spirit you have. What the devil can battle against. And the shield of faith that could quench everything he could bring. And the places where a lot of people be vulnerable, where they hold a condemnation. You have a breastplate of righteousness. In other words, you know Jehovah Tsidkenu. You know he became sin that you could become the righteous of God. You know he don't see you in sin. He sees you perfect. Because the only way you're really under the blood is that you get the life of the blood. Amen. That's why the foolish virgin had to go through tribulation because they wasn't really under the blood. Yeah, right. Because redemption, you are his purchased possession. You are his redeemable attribute. The one who went into the land to possess the inheritance. You are chosen and predestined to obtain an inheritance. Your election. You're born in Israel. You are part of Israel. You come from the loins of Abraham. You existed there. And this land is given to Abraham and his seed. Well, what is natural is spiritual. We were chosen in Christ. And this inheritance belongs to Christ. And we have a part in this. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And you see, when you receive the Holy Spirit, the seal of promise. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, you see, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You receive the earnest of your inheritance because you're part of a family. And that is an inheritance in a family. That's why after every 50 years, ever come back, it's an everlasting possession. In no way it could go away from you. It's given to you sovereignly. That's why the name is put in the Lamb Book of Life before the foundation of the world. This present evil age. Let's start with my time is up. If you think you're losing the battle, or you're being taken captive in the war, sometimes you're taken captive in the war, and garrison commandos to get you. And going to, when you get you tie up like the colt, and the son of man will say, "Go and loose him. We are neither him." And he sent men who have power to loose what is bound. You want revelation. You need it more than your own food. Your revelation is something that brings peace. Peace does give rest. Rest means you're not woken up yourself. You have a peace that cannot be disturbed. You have a rest that cannot be interrupted. Your soul is anchored. You have a tight post. Because your faith is resting on something infallible, unmovable. To disturb your peace, you receive peace because he was justified. Therefore, being justified, you have peace. If you wasn't justified, you have no peace. Because that means you're condemned. Justified means he acquit you from guilt. That means memory is killing you and holding you there. And that is why he went between them and the enemy. Because he was seeing them under the blood of the Lamb. They was identified with. And not even he could touch them. When I see the blood, I will do what? The reason he put them under the blood, that was to make them secure, because he cannot cross that blood. That's the only thing to stay his wrath. Let that soak in. But if they understood the basis for the peace, when it's like the dragon coming for them, oh God, he'll get away. He says, oh God, don't let him take me. You go start me. Don't let him take my baby, please. Oh, no, come close to me. Come close to me. No. If they understood the peace was based on the shed blood of the Lamb that they was covered by. They wasn't seeing the Lamb, but they knew the Lamb had died for them. But they was walking out, but that Lamb was to cover them all the way until they get to the inheritance. Whenever God smacked the rock and so on, it was only unfolding further the benefits locked up in that Lamb. To show you're going to sustain you in the journey. The brass open is going to bring healing for you. The ark in Jordan is going to open the way to your inheritance. Because all that speak of one atonement, Jesus Christ, who died once and for all. But these many shadows show each one bring out what is benefit you had through the shed blood of that Lamb. This is like the signature on the check, the official stamp. It may not look like much, but the people who cash in it, just look for that. And when they see that, they cash it. If they don't see that little initial or that stamp, as pretty and nice as it is, and the sum that is written there won't cash. When I see the blood, God himself couldn't touch them. He had to pass them by. When Jesus died, it's the same with us. The Holy Ghost says what? Bring the word back to your remembrance. When you forget that word, you're like, oh God, we got dead. Look what happened here. It's the same thing. No, that's covering you all the way. They wasn't saying, God, come down and deal with this, because here is somebody trying to interfere with us after you have us in journey. Not like they want a second licking. They ain't responding so, you know. This is the way they should have talked if they understood what God did. But God knowing, even though they understand, I obligated. Because these are people who was in the house eating unleavened bread and under the shed blood, so I have to take care of it. So he sat right there. You know what he said? Well, that'll get to you, that'll come through me. He said, let me see how much of them can come through this fire here. This I can realize, hey, that was real foolish of us to be crying out because dead, we're dead at all grave in Egypt. We shouldn't be saying that, Lord, I'm sorry, cleanse, circumcise my lips. Lord, you let this happen for me to discover how much in the policy I ain't redefined right in here. Our benefits that I even know of. Now that is what you must be doing. And then say, boy, double my heart, boy, I'm nearly dead today. No, you're nearly dead. God let you see the measure of protection you have. God has given you experiences to reinforce your faith in the completeness of what He has done for you. That's why I say, if God be for you, who could be against you? And if He freely offered up His Son, how shall He not freely give us all things? Rhetoric question. In other words, Paul saying, well, then if he don't freely give you all things after He offered His Son, He have no plan, He have no purpose, and He has defeated His own self. But He's saying He has a plan. And He established this plan based on the Son He loved. He Himself come and take all that punishment that was due to you, because He wants to drive it down of how unconditional His love is for you, and how chosen you are, and how the promise that He has given you, He is working to bring to pass. All things working together for good to bring you to an expected end. And you're going to come on, battle boy, and this, and trying to manufacture a testimony. And doing, you have a testimony, but tell it the right way. I'm going to say, Father, is that more you can show me on other things? I'm convinced, I didn't already. I can't die. And the devil can't, I ain't going to be afraid of this at all. You get home the point, Lord. You get home the point. Point me, Jesus. This is the way you have to be. I watch my children and them in church here. I watch you all and say, what's the matter with you all? And they come some and some of it. Like a little hurt, telling the devil beating all you up, and because you go through a trial, maybe something hard, something happened to you, you know, you get discouraged. No, through it all, we thank God for it. We don't think it's strength. You know, start to change your attitude to these things. You just weaken your own self. When you talk about it, so you're magnified and it gets bigger, and the devil realizes he's holding you in a false concept. He have you seeing it like a lock and shine, but lucky today, boy. Boy, get away. Get away. God plan every breath of your life. That gone beyond milliseconds. Your peace is not you trying to get peace in. For you to lose your peace, the devil had to prove Jesus never rose. And if you know you're changed and have the Holy Ghost, well, that the evidence is resurrection. That your sacrifice is accepted. If the prophet come back and say, he says, my ministry like all of us, I am to declare He's risen. And He did all the same signs Jesus did it to Him, proving to us He is not dead. He's trying to tell us, don't listen to organization. They have me in the tomb. He's by sending my prophet to show you I'm alive. This day is the scripture fulfilled. This day is the scripture fulfilled. Prophets become history. This day is the scripture fulfilled. The mighty God is unveiled, proving to us He's alive. You believe? You certain? When that does send you now to talk to God a different way. Your prayer to have thanksgiving with it. And your prayer to have expectation for what you're asking for. Because you're conscious, prayer is the way to make your request known. And your request being made known is the expression of your consciousness of how God set up his system that you can freely receive. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You don't need everything every day at the same time. Sometimes you're well, you don't need no healing. When you have need of healing, it's a simple matter. Amen. It's already taken care of. Amen. You need some better clothes? That is already taken care of. You want to change your diet? That is taken care of. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? God tell you, okay, you give a witness here already. I don't need you here no more. Everything is done here. I want to move you. I can change your job. It's okay. Opportunity come. You say, God, you changed my job. New assignment, Jesus. Other place to testify for you. Shine my light. Get your job so. Don't get a job. Boy, you can leave the job, boy. You get more money. So $50, $200 more in your pay, boy. Want to you. Time hard, boy. You say, no, God have me here for a purpose. When he's done with me here, I'm going to move on. Because I ain't worried about nothing. He is faithful. Every day, he is faithful. Every hour, he is faithful. I feel we can have a good prayer meeting tonight. I feel we are coming and I'm kind of praying in two minds, and we can come and thank him. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the trials. Things that we thought we couldn't thank him for, and that was going to complain about, you didn't thank him for that. Lord, I didn't realize you were showing me how secure I am, how interested you are. That was to bring in the patience. I'm praying for patience. Oh God, I need patience. You said, they'll wait upon the Lord, shall renew your strength. He said, but don't forget tribulation, work patience. I'm going to send a little tribulation. Say, yes, Lord, send it. I fasten my seatbelt. We go through the bumps. I'm going to complain. I thank you for it. Because I know I come out, I'm going to have it. By the grace of God. I want to possess my soul in patience. Amen. So when I begin a monk with eagle wings. Amen. Hallelujah. I know I'm airborne. And patience experience. And experience hope. And hope that make it not a shame. And the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You see the end of your tribulation. Oh, you prefer great tribulation. Yes, you have tribulation to bring in the virtues. And this kind, another torment, you just prove the word in you. You prove everything packed, properly sealed away by the grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He is faithful. Amen. We thank him. Let us sing a little chorus. Every day, every hour. You are faithful, Jesus. Amen. You are faithful. He is a faithful and true witness in this age. Catch this. In this age, he said, I am the beginning of the creation of God. I am the Amen. I am the faithful and true witness. Amen means the God of the unfailing promise, the God of finality. The faithful and true witness here, he is faithful who promised. You stand with unwavering faith, he's going to bring it to pass. Amen. Because you are the continuation of that new creation. And in this age, the head and the body is to be united together. Friends, every day, every hour, you are faithful. Oh, every day, every hour. Come on, brothers, every day, every hour, you are faithful. Come on, sisters, every day, every hour, you are faithful. presence is close. His hand is outstretched in blessings. Believe that you have received what you will ask for, and you shall have it. He is faithful and keeps his word. Oh, he's a faithful and true witness. Great is his faithfulness. It's impossible for him to lie. He will make that promise good to you. Just come in that right attitude of approach and watch the results follow. When you pray, believe you have received. When you're satisfied, you answer it correctly. You meet his requirement. Be certain of God. Start to thank him for it. Consider it done. Hallelujah! Let him see that you believe. Let your works express your faith. Open your heart, expect to receive more of that Holy Ghost. Let that great river of the water of life flow down into your being. Fill you up to overflowing. Give you the strength and power, the might. Indeed, a man who can war good warfare. Hallelujah. Bring that revelation of his righteousness, of his truth, of his faith, of his preparation. Hallelujah. That you can have the whole armor of God on. See the seal of his salvation upon your life. Know that he didn't save you to lose you. No man is able to pluck you out of his hand. No principality, no power, no spiritual wickedness. No rulers of the darkness of this world. Know that these pieces of armor is more powerful than every fiery dart. Every attack the enemy can throw on you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your wonderful name. We bless your name, O God. How great is our God. How greatly to be praised. Glory be to God. We thank you, Jesus. We are persuaded you are able to keep all that we commit unto your mighty hands. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, Jesus. We shall appreciate you, Father. We thank you. Knowing that you are interested in our every need, dear God. You're interested in each one, Father. We shall cast our cares upon you because you care it for us. And Lord, you care. And we want to care too, Father. We care to stand. We care to be identified. We care to make the sacrifice. We care to lay aside every weight and every sin. We care to see this word come to pass, knowing this is the hour, this is the day, this is the time, Father. We care to respond to the call of duty, that, Lord, we recognize your voice and we understand that call. Oh, God, we are not running away as a fugitive, Lord. We are not running from your presence. We are coming into your presence. We are entering into your presence, Father. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, we're reporting for duty and service, dear God. Because we care, Father. We accept our responsibility, oh God. We don't want to go into the bottom of the ship and try to fall asleep, oh Lord. But oh God, we want to recognize, Father, no matter how difficult it may seem, oh God, you are, if you go with us, Lord, then that makes everything matter, Father. Oh God. Lord, you with you in us, oh God, we know it's already a conquered thing, Father. It's a victorious thing, dear God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered. And through your union with Him, draw all your strength. Put on the armor that He has given. Amen.
The rulers of this world.
Hallelujah. Grip that shield and sword. Shut your feet with the good news of peace. I've been shut your feet with the good news of peace. And good in your loins. And good in your loins with his truth. Oh, the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness and the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Of the Spirit, be strong in the Lord, be in power. Hallelujah.
Of the enemies breaking down, you can begin to sense that blow has been crippling him, and he's only trying to stand like if he has something left. real fighters, gifted fighters. Just sense that moment and just go for the finish. And that was Joshua in the battle. He knew he had that enemy on the run. And he knew they'd only get time to, that nightfall would come and they get time to go and hide a little bit. They could regroup, they could reorganize themselves and come back strong. But he knew that the thing must finish this day. This battle mustn't go over for tomorrow. So he said, sun stand still over Gibeon, moon hang over Angelo. Oh my. And he went with everything. You know who I haven't been seeing for a little while? Gary and Shally. A couple of times I passed it, I come to the service. And I went home with that girl and said, hey, I haven't seen them. Somebody check on them and see how they're doing, by God's grace. You don't want another wounded soul to die. This is the time of day. When you're fighting, you know, the value of your people in the battle. And you know the enemy, like Amalek, trying to pick off the little weak ones on the fringe there. And that they begin to make inroads until Moses had to be in the mountain with his hands raised. And Joshua and them fighting the battle. And Aaron and Hur realize when Moses' hands get tired, the battle begin to go the enemy way when their hands begin to come down. And they got two rocks and they kept that hand up until they slew Amalek. And Amalek attacked them when the smitten rock began to release the living waters. It was after they saw the water and realized, where is Israel getting this water from? And desert people, when you say they're starving, they're thirsty, and the water is like gold. It's the gold of the desert when you have water. And that was something that's very special. I have a little announcement to make for the people in Guyana, and Brother Fenton and his wife and they is getting in tonight, and they would be there in service Sunday, in the Sunday service, and Monday there is to be a wake in Linden, and the funeral service is Tuesday at 1 p.m. Tuesday at 1 p.m. in Linden is the service, and that's Brother Charles Power, who we had announced his going home on Wednesday and asked that we can get some support from the saints there, and they would maybe need a little microphone and a speaker or something up there, and we trust that it will be sorted out and they would be able to have the funeral on Monday, on Tuesday at 1. Monday night is the wake where most of the people from inside Burbese and different parts of Guyana would come in for the funeral, the family especially. But the official funeral is 1 p.m. in Linden, Guyana. When he comes, I guess he'll give more of the, not Paragu, Parahu, but a child's Parahu, P-A-R-A-H-O-O. So that's the brother's name. So the funeral of our sister Verli Ragi will be held on Monday, 6th of February at 11 a.m. right here, and then it will go to the Chaguanas Public Cemetery. So right here on Monday at 11 a.m. is the funeral service for dearly beloved Sister Verli Ragi, who the Lord has been so gracious to open her eyes to see this great message and be with us a couple of years before he
he called her home. Also, we have a request here, and sometimes some of these requests, and I want to say this to all the islands, please do not send all your requests here when we have requests. Pray for the people where they are there also. If we have elders standing there and believers standing there, God will hear your prayer just like our prayer here. If it's something real, close, somebody have a real bad problem or something, and you think that this is urgent and you want to minister in the desperate, you're having a service here, that's fine, but the normal run of the mill, let us please do not make this the words where two or three are gathered, there he's in the midst. And when people come right here, don't try to get, because the internet is done at night, what are you going to do? So please, you know, just pray for the people right there. Have faith and believe God. Or you could gather a few of the people, the elder brothers there, the deacons and so on, and pray, you know, or ask the whole church right there sometimes, depending on what the situation is and when the request comes. But know the ones to send here and know the ones to do there. Because this is not the way we want to train people. Here is the Vatican, and if you want to come to the Pope, we don't believe in this kind of thing. You know, we believe a sister could lay a hand on her husband at home, that don't even necessarily go to the church sometimes. This is the kind of faith, friends. When the squeeze comes, you have no phone, you have nobody to run to, have a God that you can bring Jesus on the scene. Every one of us have access to God. Because if you feel it can happen to you, you can't pray for somebody. When something happened to you, could you pray for it? And then if you live in a life worthy of the gospel, why can't you pray for it? You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes some of these people there will know the people better than us here. And if somebody, family, they care for them more. We just pray for a name and put down a power prayer. But the people there could walk over, have compassion. They should talk to that person. They sing around them. They could hold their hand. They should cry with them. That prayer, God will hear that prayer. They are better than here many times. And I say this out of humility. Because I don't pray. I have all power. And I'm a power man. Anybody I pray for, heal. But I'm saying God's way. But if I make them say, "You say, sister dear, you see that kerchief that you have there, you're just wiping your tears with. Would you go and lay that on your husband? See, the kerchief you're wiping the tears with, crying for your husband, would you lay that kerchief on him? He will be well." He says, "Sister, this child was just healed for." He says, "Wait a minute. That sister over there prayed for this child. She was led by the Spirit to pray before it came here. The child came here well because God answered the prayer there." He says, "You see how he works through the members of his body?" This is the Bible church, friends. This is the Bible church. So it is in the Bible. So we want to keep it. Amen? So we want to keep it. See, Gloria coming back to Christian prayer for a friend. So Gloria, hear this. Don't feel bad. I will pray, but the thing is, when you have your friend, you take these the brothers there, go with them to the hospital where your friend is. Let them start to learn to make hospital visits. Let them start to do things as elders in the church. Let them go out there and talk to the person and witness to them Christ. And say, you know, we tell you so much. You know, if there's anything, and we'll ask the ministers, or one of the ministers to come and visit you sometime or so. Or we'll set up a little meeting on the Skype or something afterwards. But, you know, we are here. We believe. This is, Brother Abraham says, he says, "I wasn't here. I was out in the field." He said, "Brother Blair died, and the couple of brothers went in and prayed for him, and God brought them back to life." He said, "You see, it's not just me, Brother Brown, the prophet. God is healing all these people, healing others there. God is doing it because where two or three gather, what they bind on earth is bound in heaven. What they loose on earth is loose in heaven." Let's practice this, the things the way we see it in the Bible, and not establish our own ritual and form. Amen? We want to be an apostolic church. We don't want to be some organized, man-made business. We want to know that God is not in the pulpit. God is in the pulpit and in the pew. This is not Nicolaitanism. This is not one holy man standing for the rest of the people. That is Catholicism and that is Nicolaitanism. The Holy Ghost is there. Faith, gifts of the Spirit, nine gifts of the Spirit, is milling around in the congregation. Amen. It has five office gifts. It has nine spiritual gifts moving in the people, discerning their spirits and gifts of healing, gifts of faith and working of miracles among the people. Keep the church the way it is in the Bible. Work with it like that. I think I'm teaching you good. I think that's the way it's supposed to be. So 11 a.m. is a fully raggy. You see, God no respect our person's friends. God will hear a little child lay his hand and pray for his mommy. And say, Lord, heal mommy. That's right, friends. God used Samuel to heal Eli in the Bible. See, don't let take it. You take your eyes off the scripture, you get into organization. Amen. Keep your eyes in the Bible. Yeah. This ministry does only do one thing, point you back to the word. See, when I do that, if I keep doing that, point you to myself, I'm saying I'm pointing to the word. But I'm pointing to the word. I'm saying you too. All of us together. Amen. Then let all of us live in a way that when we go to pray, God wouldn't say, you hypocrite. Amen? Let all of us live in a way that God can use each and every one of us. So she's requesting prayer on behalf of a friend, Desiree Clark, who is diagnosed with diabetes and is experiencing digestive and acid reflux problems. The elders spoke with her, and she believes that when prayer is offered, she'll be healed. If the elders could speak to her, faith come by hearing and hearing by the word. Then the elders will know the word that spoke that give her faith. And her faith should have claimed the healing right there. Because the elders was looking in her eyes and know if she believed him. As in, sister, did you get that? Should I explain again for you? I'm carrying looking at her eyes from here. You see the weakness of this? This is the weakness of this. This thing does work when there is not the other situation. But when there's the other situation, have elders on the spot there, that is where it should be right there. They're looking at her, sister, do you believe if we pray, you'll be well? You know, it's your faith. We have explained to you from the word. This is how it was in the Bible. We just read it for you. You believe this? You believe this in me? I said it forever, my sister. Okay, so we're going to pray for you. Would you have respect and bow your head before him? And we pray. Sister, do you believe? Would you lift your hand and give God thanks? That you believe you have received what you asked for? You shall have it. This is the way it should be. See, the elders have more faith in me. Because they give her the time to live until I get this note in my hand. And they had her right there. With the Holy Ghost present with two or three gathered in his name. Don't make me that, please. Just leave me, Brother Vin, with a little gift to preach, who love Jesus, and talk about Jesus and try to teach Jesus the way the prophet teach him to us. Amen. Amen. Amen? Don't make me more than that, please. Just keep me one size. I am a rubber toy to blow up. Amen? But the day I go on, if God take me home first, then what will be the situation? Some people have asked for your faith. They will send the request in heaven. And if I have to go and you think I should go, stand around me and call me back. That's right. I don't have people I push into and they see me so great and the man no faith to call me back is what happened to me. I want to see the fruit and the branches. If there's a root, I want to see the offspring. She's present in this service, standing by faith, and we are asking the saints to stand with us in prayer for her, knowing that God, all things are possible. See, I always want to know, I have men in all these churches in the islands, because I have seen God has blessed them more in things, certain things than us. In other words, God will bless us the best in all things. them have some things that we need. That's why God brought them in, because we didn't have everything. That's why we was not the complete church. It had others to make up the complete church. And we couldn't be them. God had to bring them to make the church complete. So that's why we need good, solid men that they can agree and pray in all these places. I think I just labor to teach the word and establish the word. And I believe that word in good ground would bring forth men and women who can operate in this world. Amen. It'll be an embarrassment to me that this don't come forth. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It would be great to say, brother, instead of sending a request and a note of praise, last week we had such and such, we prayed for our sister there. And when the sins came together, you should have heard the shout and the prayer that went forth. And when she went back to Dr. Fong, she was well, she was released from the hospital, brother, and she's coming to be baptized. This will be greater than this. Amen. You know? Because we have people around the world who looks at this. When they hear me talk like this, they know they have something genuine. That man not himself. That man not to play no games. That man believed the way God set up the thing. That man trying to get us to work. That man not trying to project no one man thing there. And they understand the objectives and the motive. Each ministry have its objectives and its motives. What are you using your gift to point the people to? But if I say discern, to make a name for yourself, to get some reputation, to get fame, or a gift is given with the intention to edify the body and to bring glory to God. Go in the Bible and see what gifts are used for, how it is used, and the testimony of gifts in the Bible, just go in the library. I preach so much on gifts in the Bible. The gifts of the Spirit. And that is among the people. That's why I believe in the leading of the Spirit. If it's an apostolic church, the gifts have to be. He said the gifts are in every church. He said these things, you can have it. You can have a manifestation that don't have none the rest of your life. But they are in the church. And that's where they're put. Because God is not expecting to do things in human energy. God is expecting to give you leadings of the Spirit. Spirit come to you. Spirit anoint you. Go talk to that brother. Go talk to that sister. Go visit this one. That's the Spirit moving. And you drop down and you know what happened. No. Keep on walking. Keep on walking. I'm one of them. One of them. I'm so glad. He don't know what's going on. What are you sending me, Lord? Just keep on walking. God, I explain everything. You may serve it. I can keep on walking. Don't ask me what's in you. We say, how did passing? How did you know I was a passing? Message. Message. Healing. Let's pray. She died with diabetes and experiencing digestive acid reflux problems. I know that diabetes, as we are taught, is something chemical. So many times, people get through into this condition because of the wrong diet and all kinds of different things. But behind the risk is a devil, as we talk about time, that devil have a way to drive you into all kinds of things that ain't good for you and weaken you in the temple. And when the temple weaken, you get packed up and God can't walk through a real frail body that you didn't understand was governed by laws, dietary laws. You want to eat everything the eyes see and eat all the wrong things that they offer you, and you want to use all the money to buy nice clothes and eat it anyhow. When the body is more than the clothes and the life more than the body. You understand? If you have any personal things, or like this is on behalf of a loved one, sister, for a friend, if you have something on your heart as well, I guess you'd have made yours tonight here. But if you have one, maybe for someone, then we all can have faith and believe God. Let's just sing a chorus. Touching Jesus is all that matters. And your life will never be the same. There is only one way to touch Him. Just believe. Just believe.
when we call on His name.
Touching Jesus is all that matters, and your life, and your life will never be the same. There is only one way. There is only one way to touch Him. Just believe. Just believe.
You just have faith. Believe in my sister. You're in the right place. You're in the midst of the believers tonight. And the Bible says we're two or three are gathered together in His name. We have had prayer service. And no doubt they prayed for you when they were on their knees, the ones who knew of this request. But now we're going to pray again, and it's not just our prayer, it is your faith also. Your belief that God will do this. And there is something about sickness. When that devil is cast out, they go behind everything to weaken us, to afflict us, to throw our body into upheavals and bring us to a premature grave, to keep us weak through sickness. And these things is all the work of the devil. Many times we are ignorant of these things. But my dear sister, I want you to understand that when that unclean spirit walks in dry places, it comes back to the house. That's why to keep healing, you have to become a Christian. If you're asking God to heal me in my body, the Bible says, know you not your body is the temple of the living God. God desires to dwell in that temple because God has a purpose for each one of His children. Not only did He die and bore His stripes for our healing, but He also paid the price for our redemption, our salvation. It was a dual atonement for both body and soul. He pardons us of our iniquities and He heals us of all our diseases. The same dying lamb on Calvary did not only pay the price for healing, but He paid the price for your salvation. So as you stand here, my dear sister, just you don't just want Him as a healer alone tonight. You want Him also as a savior. Because the body can get sick and that won't stop you from going to heaven. But the soul that's in it shall surely die. May you find grace and favor. If you have sins, confess them as you stand in His presence. He is faithful who promised. It will be a sign that you truly respect Him and you believe in the prayer that is to be offered on your behalf. And you believe in expecting to receive the blessing of healing and even coming to know Him whom to know is life eternal. Because by healing you would be evidence that He cares for you. He's interested in you. Then you'd want to give your life to a God like that, that He can become your Savior. That when this life is over, you know He has made provision for you. How faithful He is tonight. Gracious Father, we thank You tonight for
your grace and your love, that which you have done on Calvary in our behalf, and down through the ages, you gave witness of it in every age, and in this last age, this great intellectual age of hospitals and medical science and doctors that don't believe in God and explain everything, and then they have all the medicine that they tell you will heal them, and deny that by your stripes we are healed, and that you alone are the healer. You say, I am the Lord who healed all that diseases. And so that's where our faith lies, Father. And in this day you showed that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Even among us, you raised the dead back in 1982. Called a man who's out of his body, already traveling, Lord. You brought him back to life, and you healed so many of cancers and all kinds of diseases and everything else, Lord. You prove that you are God. You keep your word. And this young lady in our midst tonight, Lord, witnessed to by her friend, Sister Gloria Cumberbatch. Lord, we pray that you would touch Miss Desiree Clark. Oh God, as she stands here among the believers, believing and expecting to receive. Did you not say, if we ask for a bread, we'll not get a stone? If we ask for a fish, we'll not get a serpent? Ask that our joys may be full. Heavenly Father, may your great quickening power overshadow her, dear God. Lord, like they saw the angel of God in the film that time right there in Barbados. Yet we are here in the service, but we saw it there on the screen, and they saw it, Father. Lord, let that same light move upon Miss Desiree Clark and heal in her body and make her condition, Lord, take it away from her, Lord. And may she pass on from sickness into health. And may she be well, completely. Never to be afflicted, O God. As she would receive you not only as healer, but savior. Because if you believe of a God who could save her body, how much more you can save her soul. That she will give her life to you. And serve you and be a witness and testimony that you did show your love to her and manifested your promise of healing in her body to confirm to her you're not dead but you're alive, and that those believers that gathered there, they stand on your truth, your infallible truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we ask this as we lift her up before you, that you will touch her, one touch from your hand. That diabetes will be gone. She'll be well. In the name of Jesus Christ, may you bless her. And may she see the evidence in her body. See the change. And know that she'll pass out of that affliction. May nothing shake her faith. May she go to praising you and thanking you. Even now, Father. Believing, as you said, when you stand praying, believe that you have received what you asked for and you shall have it. Grant it, Lord. We thank you tonight. Now, Father, may you dismiss us from this place, but not from your presence. May your Holy Spirit go with us, taking us back to our homes in peace and safety, keeping us in remembrance of the things you have spoken to us, walking in the victory with joy and thanksgiving, because we serve such a loving, faithful God who constantly, day after day, proves his word to us. For you said we could cast our cares upon you because you cared for us. Let your children go with your peace and your blessing, Father. Bring us back on Sunday should the town allow us life. We look forward with great anticipations for a great mighty visitation from your presence in the name of Jesus Christ. We commit all into your mighty hands. Amen. Why don't you turn around, greet your brother and sister, and God bless them. Amen. Song leader, come. Praise his wonderful name. Glory be to God. Amen. Just stay knitted together. Stay in love. Stay in fellowship. Stay in support of each other by the grace of God. God bless you. See you on Sunday.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We just have a note of thanks from Sister Charlene Carr. I wish to give God praise for the recovery of my wallet, which I lost while shopping in a store on Saturday. As I was about to go to the cashier, I realized that the wallet was missing. It contained about $3,000 in cash, credit cards, bank card, and other documents. I went back to one of the counters where I was before and was told that the wallet was found and sent to the cashier. Amen. Sister Charlene gives thanks for the recovery of her wallet. Amen. The librarians will like the saints to know that the DVD from the media meeting is available. Amen. So if you want to pick up that DVD from the Skype meeting, it's available. Amen. Glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And He'll never let go of my hand. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I believe that tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, there's a hand that covers the mountain and that burden all God. That's all in the world. The world in spirit. Oh, it's that same hand that is holding. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, and He'll never let go of my hand. Never let go of my heart. Oh,
what a confidence to have. Let go of my heart.